Well, hey, that's us. Thanks for joining us on the All Sporty 1140. Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival is coming October 22nd and 23rd at Discovery Park. Tool, Slayer, Korn, Avenged Sevenfold, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets on sale now. For more info, go to aftershockconcert.com. Speaking of concerts, by the way, found out that tomorrow tickets go on sale. Temple of the Dog is coming out on tour. They'll be in the Bay Area in November. My goodness. And I know I'm speaking to all people somewhere around 35 to 45 years old right now. Temple of the Dog was a super group, part of the grunge movement in the early 90s that had members of Soundgarden and Pearl Jam. They were kind of a tribute to Mother Love Bone, whose lead singer passed away really before grunge hit.
Did you just say Mother Love Bone?
Mother Love Bone.
Okay,
yes, Mother Love Bone was.
Just making sure that my mind is working.
One of the Mount Rushmores of grunge bands in Seattle that kind of launched the movement. Guys like Kurt Cobain and Eddie, well, really, Eddie Vedder wasn't there at the time, but Stone Gossard and the rest of the Pearl Jam crew and all that looked up to them, and then the lead singer passed away, drug overdose. Temple of the Dog put out one album. It was amazing. They're going on tour. I'm excited. Katie in the back row.
Is your plethora of information on subjects such as that, I don't even know what to call it,
musical knowledge?
But grunge musical knowledge?
Yes.
Is that how you would refer to it? Does that date back to the beginning of your radio career, like doing the music side of
part
things?
Of it,
or is it just because you're like a music savant?
No, I'm not. I was, grunge music
information
was
pretty basic, Katie.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I mean, that I don't know if I went too deep there. I think there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, no, I got that. But that grunge was in my wheelhouse, and I was a huge fan of that type of music. But yeah, I spent 3 years at the old Quad 106.5 doing music. But that was a little laugh. That was when we were getting out of grunge and more into Blink 182, Papa Roach, that type of stuff. Stain.
Those things I've heard of.
Limp Bizkit, Korn, who will be at the Aftershock Music Festival. We've been
really good Korn at Davis Ranch.
The best in the world, Slough House Korn. We've been traipsing through the AFC West now for the entire week. Haven't really stumbled along the way at all, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Just rolling on through. We got one more day left, and of course we will finish up strong with your Oakland Raiders. Today, Dave Scretta from the AP, he covers the Chiefs out there in Kansas City. He joins us as we take a focus on those very Kansas City Chiefs. All right, that's the Kansas City Chiefs, of which our sales manager, Brandon Bitar, is a diehard Chiefs fan, and I know many Raider fans right now are saying, a wide-open division. Yeah, right. Please, the Chiefs, you can't really get much into their draft as they started in the second round, but, you know, you got guys like Chris Jones and Parker Anger, and a lot of guys coming in, quantity over quality in some cases. I think really the big question for the Chiefs, though, it's quite simply their injury situation. They have injuries that they're dealing with, guys that are coming back from big, big injuries that's going to factor right there alone in what the hell this team does this year.
That's crazy, because I think the biggest question with the Chiefs is what's going on with Travis Kelce. As far as his dating, and I find this out last night because I'm watching Watch What Happens Live on Bravo because
I missed it.
That silly,
roommate of yours.
No, that silly reality thing that we got going on in my household. And he was on there as a guest, and apparently he's on a bachelor style dating show where they've beefed it up for the NFL version of it, apparently, and he gets to date 50 different women. I'm wondering if he's got any gas left in his tank for the season.
So I say it's injuries. She's worried about Travis Kelce being able to go out there and run it all if he's not limping all over the place. Nate, what's your big Chiefs question?
Well, first off, you're talking about a team here, guys, that's pinning its hopes in the AFC West on Andy Reid, Alex Smith, a broken Jamal Charles, Eric Berry, who's continuing to hold out, Jeremy Maclin, who couldn't stay healthy if he was, in the actual hospital being treated every day. So, that's a bit of an issue. But the thing with Eric Berry, he didn't sign his franchise tag, so he's planning what could be a lengthy holdout. And while a lot of people think it's about money, to me, Dave, and I know this is from like 4 years ago, but this is some of my favorite Eric Berry audio, I think he's frankly just scared of the Chiefs mascot. Uh-huh. Eric Berry is scared to death of horses. This is from an NFL Films video from 4 seasons ago of him just roaming the sidelines during a Chiefs home game.
Okay, his knowledge, he apparently has not been listening to our show for Horse Wednesday or Wednesday Horse because he thinks that you drive a horse and also that they throw tantrums.
not for nothing, the Chiefs finished last year on an 11-game winning streak, if you count their 30-0 drubbing of Houston in Houston before losing by a touchdown in New England. So you look at the Chiefs starting out 1-5 and then finishing that way. That's pretty damned impressive. And let's see if we can they can carry it over into the season. Joining us right now, covers the Chiefs for the AP. It's our new friend Dave Scratta. Dave, it's it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Just rolling through the AFC West, and thank you for joining us to give us a little education on the Chiefs. And we were talking about questions heading into the season. My big one was obviously with the Chiefs. It's the injuries. It's the health. Talk about their big guns coming back from injury and where that's at progress-wise.
Yeah, well, we learned yesterday that Jamaal Charles is going to be on the PUP list, and I think everybody sort of expected that. He's coming back from a torn ACL, and I think he'll be ready for the season opener, but there's no reason for him to be pushing it, especially this first week in training camp. Probably won't see him until maybe the third preseason game. The other big one is Justin Houston, and he had an ACL repair too, but it didn't happen until February. It was kind of a bizarre situation where the Chiefs really didn't know what was wrong with him until he went in and had a different procedure done, and they discovered he had a non-functioning ACL, whatever that means. So So they got that repaired in February, but that means, if you're talking a 10-month recovery, it's going to be late in the season before he gets out there. He's certainly not going to be doing anything other than rehab up here in training camp.
Well, you talk about Charles, and last year, obviously, I think it was like 5 games into the season, he goes down with that second ACL injury. But Ware and West stepped in and did a really good job, and the Chiefs retained them on really affordable contracts. So it seems like they feel fairly confident in whatever his status is at this point, that they've got people that can fill in there.
Yeah, they do. And I think one thing you have to remember is that all three of those guys are different players, and that's kind of a unique thing for the Chiefs, too. A lot of people are wondering if Jamaal is back and close to 100%, are there going to be enough touches to go around? Well, Jamaal can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can do a lot of things in the passing game that the other two can't. Sharkandrick West, you mentioned, is kind of a scatterback, really quick guy. And then Spencer Ware is just a big battering ram, for lack of better description. So you got three guys that sort of all complement each other, and that's a pretty good luxury to have.
Dave Scratta, the Associated Press, previewing the Kansas City Chiefs for us on KHTK. Dave, Eric Berry's situation, he didn't want to sign the franchise tender. I think nobody can really blame him for that, but it sounds like things are going to get drawn out a little bit. I've heard mixed reviews as to when he's going to come back. How long do you think he's going to drag this out, and how long are the Chiefs willing to wait?
Well, and it's really out of the Chiefs' hands. You know, I think they're going to sit there and wait as long as it takes. He's going to sign eventually. There's no reason for him to sign right now. I wouldn't want to go up to St. Joe and move into the dorms at Missouri Western University and go through all these practices for 3 weeks if I didn't have to. So, I don't know that we'll see much of him in training camp, but you also have to remember he's, you know, when he signs that tender, he's going to make $10.8 million next year, and that makes him the highest paid safety this season in the NFL. So he's not going to leave that money on the table either. He'll sign eventually. It's just a matter of when. And I think at this point, it's just kind of making his displeasure known to the Chiefs, which surprised me. To be frank, I was surprised they didn't get a deal done. I think there was a lot of goodwill between them. The Chiefs were very supportive of him when he went through his cancer treatment a year ago, and even paid him, you know, his full contract when they didn't have to. And I think there was a lot of goodwill on both sides. And frankly, I was a little surprised that something didn't get done.
The AP's Dave Scratta joining us. We're talking Kansas City Chiefs right now on Sports 1140 KHTK. Dave, we're familiar, obviously, out here in these parts with Alex Smith and being a 49er for a while. I'm just curious, now that he's been there, when he was in San Francisco, it was always he's a game manager, he can't get us to the promised land, always looking for somebody new, which Harbaugh eventually found Colin Kaepernick. What is the fan thought process on Alex Smith these days?
I think the fans are realistic when it comes to Alex. I think they know he's not going to carry them with his arm, but they also know he's not going to make a lot of big mistakes. And when you've got a team that has the weapons that the Chiefs do have on offense with Jeremy Maclin at wide receiver and Travis Kelce, one of the league's best tight ends, and Jamaal Charles coming back, I don't think they need Alex to carry them with his arm. And in fact, his best games statistically are games they tend to lose. If you remember that playoff game against the Colts a couple of years ago when they blew a big lead, he threw for like 400 yards and they ended up losing. So, you know, I think the Chiefs fans just want him to be steady. They want him to not throw interceptions, fumble, and make mistakes and let a really good defense and some pretty good skill players kind of carry the load.
Dave, I was going to ask you the exact same question about Andy Reid. I mean, a guy who has been very successful, so I don't want to knock him, but over his time in Philly, his flaws were certainly exposed, and he has a reputation, you know, clock management, whatever it might be. So, hey, same thing. How do people feel about Andy Reid?
Well, I think there's still, believe it or not, here 4 years into this thing, there's still a little bit of a honeymoon effect going on. Things were so bad before he got here. I mean, people were trash bags over their heads to games, and some fans even paid for a banner to be towed behind an airplane asking that the GM and the coach be fired. So things were a disaster before Andy got here, and he really kind of calmed things down and really short order took a 2-win team to the playoffs, and last year they won a playoff game for the first time in 20 years. So he certainly earned a lot of goodwill. But now that, you know, he has to take the next step and John Dorsey, the general manager as well. And that's to go deep into the playoffs. They picked up a win last year, but, I think it's kind of like AFC championship or bust right now among fans. They really want to see, this thing keep moving forward.
Dave Scretta joining us this morning, beat writer for the Chiefs for the Associated Press. I want to ask you about Justin Houston, who, you know, is recovering from that knee injury. But I read a quote yesterday that Andy Reid had regarding his injury and his status. And I just, you know, Andy obviously better than us, and you cover him on a daily basis. I want you to kind of make sense of this quote. He said, "I'll tell you, he's not going to work here. He'll be here. He's just not going to be able to do football stuff. He'll rehab and continue with his rehab. But what the heck does, I'll tell you, he's not going to work here." What does that mean?
Well, he means he's not going to get on the field. He's not going to do any of the football workouts, the individual stuff or the group stuff. He's just going to be off on injury island, we call it, with the rest of the injured players kind of, you know, working his way back. I haven't seen him up in St. Joe yet, but I'm sure he'll be there and just kind of doing his thing off to the side. And I think week one is certainly out of the question, and probably the first 8 weeks are probably out of the question. The question is whether he's going to make it back onto the field by the midway point in the season. And after that, are they going to have him for a stretch run toward the playoffs? And I think that's sort of where the Chiefs' mindset is right now.
Okay, so when he says he's not going to work here, he's really literally just talking about he's not going to be on the field in Missouri at training camp.
Right. He's not going to be in pads. He's not going to be doing anything like that. He'll be doing some rehab work.
Dave, before we wrap up, give us, if you could, your breakdown on the Chiefs draft. They stockpiled picks. They now get to see what they landed. It looks like they're throwing a lot into that defensive backfield, along with Tyreek Hill, who I loved in college. Talk a little bit about what they pulled in.
Yeah, I think the draft is really productive for them. They got a defensive lineman in Chris Jones, who I think is going to be really productive. And fortunately for him, he's going into a defensive line with Dontari Poe, Jay Howard, Alan Bailey, some guys that are really productive. So he was their top pick, even though he was in the second round. But I don't think there's a lot of pressure on him to produce right away. But you mentioned the cornerbacks, and I think that's really interesting. They drafted three of them. They lost Sean Smith, obviously. He headed out your way. So there's some snaps to go around in the defensive backfield, and Kavari Russell out of Notre Dame and Eric Murray out of Minnesota are both guys that could probably get on the field either at cornerback or nickelback. So there's a lot of hope there. And then the other one that's really interesting is Parker Ainger, who's the offensive lineman out of Cincinnati, and they took him in the fourth round. And the Chiefs are really looking for a guy who can step in at offensive guard and give them an upgrade. And they had a lot of success with a rookie at center last year. And so maybe Parker's a guy who can surprise some people in training camp and earn a job.
Dave, I'm curious. The Chiefs went through at least 9 different offensive line combinations last season. Obviously, they had a very successful season, not as successful as they wanted it to have. Mm-hmm. But when you go into this 2016 season, is there still big question marks surrounding that offensive line, or is that something they've been able to shore up?
Well, they shorted up a little bit. They signed Mitch Schwartz in free agency. He's probably one of the premier offensive linemen that was out there. So that really helped. Last season, they had just lost a whole bunch of guys in free agency. So they were kind of mix and matching and trying to figure out a combination that worked. And they never really did find one that did work that well. But like you said, they still won 11 straight games, went to the playoffs, won a playoff game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't totally write off the work those guys did up front. But I think they're a lot more comfortable with the guys they have in camp this year. I think there's a lot more talent there. It's just a matter of finding the right five guys and putting them in the right spots.
Well, and you could probably recycle this question over a few off seasons with the Chiefs. Finally, depth at wide receiver. Jeremy Maclin, obviously, he handles the load. But where you know, I know they've got some guys in there with Streeter and Williams. They drafted, we mentioned, Hill and Robinson. But are they looking at having some depth this year, or are they just rolling the dice?
I think they've got a little more depth than they did, but I think it's always a question we've had with Andy is, you know, when are they going to draft a guy who's really going to come in and be a game changer? And they certainly didn't do that this year. You mentioned Tyreek Hill, and he's really impressed a lot of people with his speed, but he's not a very big guy, and he might be more of a threat in the punt and kick return game. They got another kid out of Florida, DeMarcus Robinson, who might get on the field. But I think really they're looking at Chris Conley, who is a guy they drafted last year out of Georgia, to take a big step up. And he wasn't that productive last year, but he's got all the physical tools that you really like to see. So he needs to kind of make a big step up and take some of that pressure off Jeremy Maclin.
Dave Scretta covers the Chiefs for the AP. Have fun out there at Arrowhead this year, and good luck. Thanks for joining us.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That is Dave Scretta talking Chiefs. So there you go. We've hit everyone in the AFC West but one team, and we'll get you the silver and black tomorrow.
The one team.
It's always interesting to me because, you know, we obviously were the home of the Raiders, the A's, and the Kings. So sometimes you forget what it's like to cover a team that's enjoyed, like, a decent amount of success over an extended period of time. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, Matt, who's currently in the other room in his A's Snuggie. But it's crazy because this is what you do with successful teams. You start to nitpick at things like the offensive line, like what the heck are they going to do there? And it's like, I wonder what that's like to cover a team where you're looking for question marks.
Dave Scretta doesn't know either because it's the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not successful. out of here. Prior to last year, they hadn't won a playoff game. But think about that for a second. Like this is the team that they managed to be just right there. God dang it. Just about every single year. Just about every single year, they're right there. But they can't win a playoff game. Or, you know, they find a way to choke it out in the first round. Like,
the Texans last year.
I would rather root for the Browns and have some misery to hang my hat on. Seriously. And like, because then at least you're a martyr if you're a Browns fan. If you're a Chiefs fan, no one gives a damn. You're like an ongoing joke.
I mean,
what are you looking at me like that for? It's true.
Let me say they beat the Texans 30-0 last year in the first round.
Most unsuccessful team in football.
Okay, well if you look, I get what you're saying there, but I'm talking about a team that freaking won 11 straight games last season. What is that like?
No one took them seriously.
I mean, hell, they were 11-5 2 years ago.
I know.
No one took them
they're
seriously.
They're still there. I mean, listen, as
no,
a king,
I'm not saying the Chiefs are garbage.
By the way,
come on.
It took me a second. I can't believe I didn't say this. You're 100% wrong. They're not even the most successful, unsuccessful team in the AFC. There's that Cincinnati Bengals team up north that is twice as talented as the Chiefs. Every year, it's Marvin Jones and the Bengals look to finally capitalize on their massive amounts of talent. Oh, Vontaze Burfict punched somebody in the...
That's great. Great voiceover work for you, by the way.
Thank you very much, yes.
That's a tough one because you could go way back. Like, the Chiefs have been doing this for several decades, but so have the Bengals to a degree when you've got them losing to Super Bowl or losing to Niners in the Super Bowl.
And, twice. Yeah,
I mean, that's round debate there.
I mean, at least, you know, like, and I mean, you could throw the San Diego Chargers in there, not as of late, but you got a Super Bowl with them again, losing, getting annihilated by the Niners. And you remember those, I mean, I do wonder
if talking about past success of the Niners really hurt your heart.
Listen,
no, it would if I cared about anything. But dude, Jed York deserves everything that he's signed
agreed.
Up for.
It's kind of hard to play martyr for a team that has a brand new stadium, isn't going anywhere, and has five Super Bowl titles.
Nobody cares.
Like, I'm not that guy who's like five Super Bowl titles, screw you. But I'm saying. There are a lot of NFL, as bad as the 49ers are, which they're arguably the worst team in the NFL this year, they're certainly in the conversation. It's like Browns fans have a lot more of a beef with God than 49er fans. Okay, let's just be real, real honest there.
To the sporting gods.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Chad Mendes is facing a 2-year ban from the UFC for violating their policies, and he has yet to speak publicly about what happened. He will join us next. And really, for lack of a better term, he'll explain himself exactly what happened. Yeah, we'll talk to Chad, who we've had on many times before. Next, right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, full disclosure, I've covered MMA for a long, long time. And like most of the Team Alpha Male fighters here in Sacramento, I've known Chad Mendes since really he came up in the sport. And I consider him a friend. Now, in Chad's case, Chad has had 3 title fights in his career in the UFC, got a 2-year suspension from USADA a little over a week ago after testing positive for a banned substance following an out-of-competition urine test May 17th. According to USADA, Chad tested positive for something called GHRP-6, growth hormone-releasing hexapeptide. We all know what that is. It's in my cereal. Mm-hmm. It's a non-specified substance on the WADA prohibited list. First-time offenders, automatic 2-year suspension. Joining us right now on the phone, it is UFC fighter Chad Mendes. Chad, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for coming on, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. First question for you. This happened a week ago. And you haven't really talked about it at all. We appreciate you coming on with us to talk about it, but why take the week? What was your thought process and kind of cooling out for a while?
Man, I mean, this whole situation has been pretty tough. It's not anything that I enjoy, but I honestly haven't said anything in the media or talked about it just because, you know, I know everyone on my side knows that no matter what I say, you know, the people that are going to hate and the people are going to talk trash and all that, they're going to do it no matter what. I mean, I could get a doctor from Johns Hopkins to come in and scientifically prove that, you know, it was a complete accident and these guys are still going to talk. So, you know, I was just like, I'm going to step back and just kind of live my life here for a little bit and just kind of let things cool down before I talk about it. So it's been rough, man. You get a lot of ignorant people leaving comments on all your photos and you know, people in the media writing stuff that isn't true and, you know, headlines come out and then people believe whatever they read. So, I just felt it was time for me to try to clear stuff up as much as I can anyways and put all those rumors and stuff to rest. So.
Okay. Well, and Chad, in this environment, the sports environment, and not just in MMA, but, you know, football, baseball, especially, you hear something about PEDs or failing a test, whatever it may be. And it's automatic cynicism from anyone. Yeah, are you saying it didn't happen or this or somebody put mm-hmm. something in a milkshake? And yeah, right. So, you know, in your words, just honestly, what happened and what made you test positive for this?
Well, I mean, you said what it was. It was a GHRP-6 is what it was. And I mean, before all this stuff came out, I had no idea what the hell that stuff was. When my test results came back and they told me that's what I had tested positive for, I was like, I don't even know what that is. So I started doing a bunch of research and, you know, I mean, one thing I want to clear up to a lot of people that are calling me quote unquote roid head and like juice head and stuff like that. This isn't even a steroid. It's a peptide. And, you know, this is used for, I mean, a lot of people use it for skin treatments. It's basically an anti-aging type peptide. And I mean, basically what I was using it for was, I mean, I've suffered from plaque psoriasis my entire life. I mean, I have it all over my shins, all my entire scalp is covered in it. It's all over my ears. I get a big patch of it on my side. And I mean, I've had that since I can even remember, you know, and, you know, I remember as a little kid, like trying to get on the wrestling mat and, you know, I'd have it, and people would be like, "Oh, you have a giant ringworm. I'm not wrestling you."
Wow.
You know, it's something I've been, like, dealing with my entire life, you know, even trying to grapple with people on the mats and stuff like that. People are freaked out because sometimes it gets super red and inflamed and just looks god-awful. And they think it's contagious, and they don't want to touch me. And it's like, dude, it's not contagious, I promise. You know, my scalp, you know, I can't wear a black shirt. It looks like I'm, you know, snowing all over my shoulders. It's pretty disgusting and embarrassing. You know, my fiance hates it. And it's itchy all the damn time. And, you know, I've tried going and seeing specialists, and, you know, there's a couple options that I can do with them. And it's like, take a pill, which is god-awful for your liver and just tears your stomach up. There's ointments and creams that they've given me, but those, like, destroy my immune system. They, you know, so I'm training two or three times a day through a training camp. You know, if I'm putting this stuff on at night before bed or something, you know, I can't be getting sick throughout my training camp. I can't be, you know, getting sick right before a fight. It's just not an option, you know, so can't use those. And then they've talked about giving me one of the shots. And so I've done research on that as well. And that also is, like, super bad on your liver. You know, my uncle, actually, I get it from him. It's hereditary. And, he's done a bunch of research on all that stuff too. And he's like, dude, I wouldn't even touch any of that stuff. It's just not worth it. So my whole life, it's always the holistic, you know, people always like, oh, I see you have eczema or psoriasis, you know, try this, you know, this oil is great, or this lotion or this cream, or, you know, and I've always been like, oh, okay, cool. You know, I'll try it, you know, and there's some stuff that somewhat helps and some of it that doesn't do anything at all. But, you know, there's never been anything that's just completely taken it away. And, you know, I just have never, my entire life, I've always just accepted and put it on, not thinking about anything. And this was one of the cases that had something in it that was on the USADA quote unquote banned list. And, you know, my situation was just kind of bad luck, I feel. But, ultimately, you know, I broke the rules. Did I use it? Of course, you know, I didn't try going to USADA and making up some BS story and trying to lie my way out of it. I just, you know, after testing positive, I went back and looked through all my supplements. You know, the only, like, athletic supplements that I take are the Mountain Ops supplements, and those are all certified and clean. So it wasn't any of those. I talked with all those guys. And the only other thing at the time that I had started using new was the lotion. And so I started looking and reading all the ingredients, and sure enough, on there, GHRP6 was one of the damn ingredients. So I just called my manager, like, look, this is it. We called USADA and was like, he's, you know, it was what was in the lotion that he was using for his skin. And they're like, all right, well, I mean, we, you know, whether it's intentional or not, you know, that's breaking the rules. So we're going to have to suspend you. And, you know, like I said, I didn't try making some BS thing up and lying about it. I just basically said, all right, I mean, I broke the rules, whether it was intentional or not, it's still breaking the rules. And, you know, I told them I don't expect any special treatment. Like, you know, USADA's come into the sport and they've been doing a great job, in my opinion. I mean, they're cleaning it up. They're catching guys that are, you know, taking steroids and, you know, getting in there and fighting while taking them. And, you know, it's something that I feel has need to happen from a long time ago. And, you know, it's doing, I mean, everyone's seeing what's going on. So, it's just kind of crappy on my part. I mean, a peptide, and I didn't have a fight scheduled. I wasn't training. I told the media, I told the UFC after my last fight that I was going to take this entire year off. You know, if anyone that's been following me, you know, would know that I've been pouring my heart and soul into my new business, Fins and Feathers, and just putting all my time and energy into that. I mean, I wouldn't have any reason to be trying to take anything. You know, I wasn't preparing for anyone or didn't have anything in the horizon. So, you know, that just wouldn't make sense. But like I said, all in all, it doesn't really matter. You know, that was a substance that was on the banned list and I used it. So, I mean, it is what it is, I guess.
mixed martial artist Chad Mendez with us on KHDK, making his first public words, I suppose, since his suspension. So, Chad, I mean, it sounds like there's a very legitimate reason that you're dealing with this substance. My question to you is, do you know, like, what exactly, in the eyes of the USADA, what are the performance-enhancing properties of this peptide? Why is it banned in the first place?
I don't know. So I did try to do a bunch of research and, like, called people and just try to find stuff out about it. And in everything that I've found on it, you know, they say there's little to no performance-enhancing properties to it at all. But I think whenever you take it, there's people that actually take it with steroids, and it supposedly enhances it, is what everyone's been telling me. So, I mean, I've been tested more than anybody on our team. I mean, I've been tested, I think, 6 times by USADA, or randomly tested. And, I mean, they tested me I don't know the exact dates, but it was like a couple weeks before they tested me, and that's the one that flagged. And then they came back the week after that flagged and tested me again. They did all the extensive, and, you know, I took 4 vials of blood and did the urine again. And, you know, I just got all that back. That was all clean. And it's like, wouldn't that show that, I mean, I wasn't taking anything else. There was no
wasn't like you weren't
so no
using
reason
it as
to
a
use
masking
them
agent
to, with yeah. something else, yeah.
Exactly. And so, I don't know. I feel like there probably was some grounds to possibly fight it, but like I said, in my opinion, it's embarrassing to me, honestly. This is another reason why I haven't talked about it. This is super embarrassing to me. I've always been the type of guy that's worked my butt off, you know, and trained hard and done things the right way. And for, you know, this to come out and now be labeled the quote unquote juice head, it's embarrassing, man. I'm embarrassed for my family, for all my sponsors, my friends, like my true fans. Like, I don't ever want to be labeled a guy that's cheating and taking steroids. And now I'm put in that class because of this whole situation. And so, I mean, it really is embarrassing to me. So I don't know. I've been trying to kind of avoid it, I guess, in my own sense, but I mean, it's something I feel like needs to get out because of, I don't know, I feel like I owe it to my true fans and all my family members and everyone that's been hitting me up. And, you know, everyone's just asking questions and I just feel horrible for them. But, I mean, that's, I guess, just the situation.
I mean, it's tough, Chad. And it sounds like you've kind of come to terms with the fact that you're taking the accountability route on this one, whether, you know, you think it was rightful or not. So this next question is probably kind of tough from your position to answer objectively. And I don't know, frankly, that we want you to answer it objectively, but is 2 years a little bit too long?
I mean, like I said, this is a tough situation. I told them I don't expect any special treatment. Like, this is me breaking the rules, whether it was intentional or not. It's still, you know, if I get pulled over by a cop and I'm speeding and I'm like, sorry, officer, I didn't know that the speed limit was 55. You know, it's not going to work. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't make sense. So I'm not going to go to these guys and be like, well, I just didn't know, so you better take some time off. You know, I don't expect that. It sounds stupid. And so I didn't, you know, do that. But I mean, 2 years is a long time, especially in this sport, especially for, you know, a first time offender, and especially over, you know, something that's not a steroid. I don't know. It's a tough situation. Like I said, there's rules, they're set in place, you know, and I think USADA is doing a great job on that. And, you know, I can't be the one to break a rule and then be like, well, I want special treatment because this, and this, you know. So I don't know. It's just tough.
Chad Mendez joining us this morning on The Drive on KHDK. Now, Chad, a 2-year suspension. I know that this is all very new and you're likely still trying to wrap your head around everything that has happened. But what will the next 2 years look like for you?
Well, I mean, in all actuality, I'm not in a bad position. I mean, like I said, if anyone's been following me on my social media, like, I started a business called Fins and Feathers. It's a celebrity hunt service. And we've been going fishing and hunting with clients.
You hunt celebrities, Chad? Wait,
what? What, is this like a strange Pokemon Go
Robert
thing?
Robert Downey Jr. is in the corner.
It's the world's most dangerous game.
Yeah. Dave, we need you on there.
Okay, so you're doing that. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the business has taken off. It's doing well. Like I said, I've been pouring my heart and soul into this, and absolutely love it. I mean, anyone that follows me and is a true fan knows that I'm a huge outdoorsman. I love hunting. I love fishing. Just being in the outdoors. So this is something that outside of fighting, I absolutely love. So, I have this for me right now, and I'm going to continue to just keep pouring my heart and soul into it, putting all my time and effort into it. And, I'm going to keep training and stay in shape and keep everything sharp for, honestly, 2 years is a long time, but I feel like at least the last few years, time has been flying by. So, the 2 years, in my opinion, is going to go by quick. I'm going to get all this business up and running and set, and then we can jump back in there, and I'm going to get after whoever has that title and work my way up back up and get that belt.
Chad, I will admit it. I did not know that you were a hunting and fishing enthusiast. And so now here's the most important question of the entire interview from a selfish perspective. Dave and I have been talking about it. I grew up fishing. Absolutely love it. I don't know where to fish in Sacramento.
Oh, nice.
That's what I need to know.
Chad's been talking about taking me fishing for about 7 years now, so I don't know about this.
I told you I'll take you. The salmon are just now starting to run. They come up the river from the ocean to spawn. So I'm actually going out this weekend, but it's still super slow right now. Usually mid-August is whenever maybe mid to end August is when the big schools start coming up. So whenever they start coming up, I'll let Dave know.
Fishing.
And then Chad,
I'll get my fishing vest out. I have all my gear.
See, we'll catch
I'm excited.
Him. Just a warning that we'll catch him. Chad likes to fish with a bow and arrow, and then he'll catch him, and he'll just start eating them right on the boat.
Oh, yeah. We'll do some sushi up right there.
Yeah.
Chad, real quick, I want to put this out there, too. I want to get into something real quick because we have a couple minutes.
Yep.
But number one, and I'm just asking you this because we're in front of everyone right now, just straight up, have you ever knowingly put anything illegal in your body?
I haven't, man. I have not. And I pride myself on being the type of guy that works hard. I mean, I've been wrestling since I was 5 years old and, never taken a year off. I've grown up seeing all my buddies that, are out partying and stuff like that. And I'm the one that's dedicated that didn't, I'm at home, either doing my homework and then going for a long run after 2 days of practicing and a full day of school. Straight into college, doing the same thing, getting up at 5 a.m. and going to the track and running sprints when it's cold as hell out and going to class all day and then coming back and doing a two-hour wrestling practice and then running again in the evening. Like, that was my life. That's been my life my entire life. And, I've always been the guy that's pushed myself and worked hard for it. I don't want to be labeled the type of guy that's a cheater and that's trying to take shortcuts trying to take the easy way out, because it's not what I do. I'm working my ass off and trying to get after it. Sorry, I cussed. My bad.
You're okay. That's an okay word here.
I think you were fine there. It's the other words we talked about last night we can't say. and the other thing, Chad, too, because you make a good point. I think a lot of people automatically think this, and I want to kind of run through this with you. That you hear an athlete, they see you, Chad, you got 300,000 Twitter followers, you're on national TV, you're a superstar, you have a limo driver and a Bentley, and and then you can look this up, and I'm not putting Chad on the spot here. Anybody can Google this. For example, at UFC 189, just on base pay alone, both Chad and Conor McGregor each made $500,000. So people see that and they go, hey, hold on there, rich athlete. Why don't you have a list of trainers that are checking every single thing that could possibly go into your body? Now, this is something
or on your body,
or on your body.
Yeah.
Now, this is something I don't think a lot of people really understand about fighters. Chad, let's bring it down to $100,000. All right, you make $100,000 for a fight, and maybe fight three times a year. So, out of that go ahead, Chad.
Well, before we even get in there, I want to, touch on the first thing you're talking about. Like, you're right. People see us as quote unquote superstars. Like we're Brad Pitts and have, everything done for us and handed to us. And it's not true. I mean, the only difference between us and the fans that are watching us and leaving comments on our Instagram and Twitter and social media is that we're stupid enough to get into the octagon and fight another human being. That's the only difference. Like, I go to the grocery store. I buy my own groceries. Like, I cook my own dinners at night. wash my own laundry. You know, I pay my own bills, you know, put the envelopes in the mailbox. Like, I do all the normal stuff that everybody else does in life. The only difference is you guys see me on TV punching someone. That's it. And, you know, there's a lot of people that make just as much, if not more money than us, working in an office, you know? And so, you know, say I get $100,000 for a fight. I mean, right off the bat, 10% of it goes to management. Mm-hmm. About 12 to 15% goes to trainers that you split it up with. And then we're usually in the highest tax bracket. That's about 42 or 43%, you know? So that's most of the purse gone right there. You know, and we try to find write-offs and stuff since we're independent contractors that we can try to, you know, write things off. So, you know, I say I make $100,000 the night of the fight. You know, I usually end up walking away with about $40,000 of it. So people see, you know, he's made $100,000. He's rich. And it's like, no, I didn't make $100,000. I made about $40,000 to go in there and fight another human being to the death. You know, it's like, it's a tough way to make money.
But, well, and then that brings up kind of my next point as we wrap up with Chad Mendez. You've been very open about everything you're going through right now, and I know that you're very close with your family and you know, family your own and all that. When you get off the suspension, you'll be 33 years old. Now, you said, hey, I'm going to come back and do this and do that and get that strap. But my question to you is this. Is there any part of your brain that's thinking, you know, I got stuff going on. I got a lot of time on my hands over the next year and a half, 2 years, and maybe my businesses take off. Maybe I get more into training others, et cetera, et cetera. Is there a possibility that 33 comes around and you say, you know what, I don't need to be concussed every other year. I'm done.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of my family members have been asking me the same thing. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest. It's definitely something that's crossed my mind. But, you know, I don't know. I've been a competitor my entire life. Like I said, I started wrestling 5 years old and competed all the way up till now. You know, it's what I know. It's, you know, it's who I am. It's what I do. So even if I were to say right now, like, I'm done, I guarantee when 33 comes around and I'm getting that suspension taken off, the competitiveness inside me is going to take over and, you know, I'm going to want to get back in there and fight. So, I mean, it is tough. I mean, this is a brutal sport. You know, and the older I get, the more I'm realizing it. You know, I don't want to be 50 years old, you know, in a wheelchair, not able to talk because I'm, you know, out chasing money, getting punched in the face. But at the same time, you know, I do love to compete. And, you know, it's something that I absolutely love to do. So we'll see. I just got to be smart. I'm going to, you know, I said from day one when I got into fighting, like, you know, after college, I'm going to try this out. And if I'm good at it, then I'll continue doing it. You know, and if my body, if there's a time where my body's like, look, you're done, quit pushing through this, then I'll step back. I don't have an ego. I don't have, a huge chip on my shoulder to try to prove something. Like, you know, I know I'm a badass. I know that I'm tough. Like, I can get in there and fight with the best of them. You know, I have nothing to prove in my mind other than trying to get after that belt. But, you know, it's definitely something I'm able to do. If it's time, it's time.
Well, Chad, you know, we took you all the way up to the top of the hour, skipped the last break. We got 20 seconds left in the show, but honestly, thank you for coming on. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about you, and good luck. I'm sure we'll be in touch, and we always have a spot for you on the radio.
And we're going to go fishing. Just don't want to reiterate that. We're going to go fishing.
Oh, we'll definitely go fishing. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully that clears some info up for my true fans anyways. I know the haters are still going to talk, but you know, my true fans, my friend, my family, my friends, just kind of clear some stuff up with them. So Absolutely. Thank you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Chad. Great job. That's Chad Mendez. Literally have 10 seconds left. Thanks to Chad, everybody who joined us. For Nate, Katie, I'm Dave. Thanks to Matt George as well. Jim Rome is next. Stay tuned right here on the Drive 11. Caller, by the way, at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Gets tickets to Monday's showing of The Godfather at Studio Movie Grill. So be the 11th caller right now at 339-1140 and come see a movie with Katie Christensen and the rest of us. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.